You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. The next guest in this edition is Shira Tuplitz of Roll Call Newspaper. Over the past couple days, we've looked at some of the still contested Senate races, including the runoff scheduled for Georgia and the recount set to take place in Minnesota. But the third race still yet to be called is in Alaska, where embattled longtime Republican Senator Ted Stevens, who just a week before the election was convicted on 7 felonies, is apparently holding a slight lead over his Democratic rival, Anchorage Mayor Mark Begich. And Shira, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me again, Greg. I appreciate it.
So where does the race stand right now?
Right now, we are waiting and waiting and waiting. 3,200 votes stand between Senator Stevens and another term in the Senate. Well, at least getting elected to another term in the Senate. Once he gets to the Senate, that's a whole nother can of worms there, what will happen to him with his colleagues. But right now, there are currently about 90,000 votes still out, and that's out of 224,000 or so votes cast. So it's quite a huge portion. It's basically like we're sitting there with, 2,300 votes still out there and 30% of precincts unreporting. So
what is the holdup as far as you know in terms of getting these final votes in?
Well, they come in two categories. First of all, you have about 20,000 provisional ballots still out there, and there's no guarantee all of those will be counted. They're actually called question ballots in Alaska, but in the rest of the country, they're known as provisional votes where it wasn't quite clear what the voter's intention was. So they have to look, the state board has to look at all of those by hand. Now, aside from that, Alaska has a huge number, 70,000 ballots still out there for absentee and early voters. And that's a huge number. And for Alaska, actually, it makes a lot of sense. If people live in remote areas, they vote a lot by mail. There are a lot of people who just live in Alaska part-time but claim it as their residence so they can get that great, couple $100 check every year for living in Alaska and the oil benefits.
These votes that are still yet to be mailed in, is it just a fact that sometimes the mail in remote parts of the state takes a couple of weeks, or is it something more than that?
I think it certainly has something to do with it. Also, the state board allows these absentee ballots to come in until about 2 weeks after the election. I think that's their official cutoff. So the state board waits for it. We saw this in the primary a couple months ago when we had another very close race, and Don Young won, this at-large member, Don Young won his primary by a couple hundred votes again. So, the state just waits, and there are a lot of people in remote areas and a lot of people all over the country who are casting ballots in Alaska.
Do we know anything about the precincts involved and the areas of the state that the votes have yet to come in from as to which candidate it might favor, or is the margin just simply too close with too many votes left to count to really be able to tell?
It's kind of very difficult to tell, actually. They come from all over. There is a bit of a district breakdown, and Republicans actually say absentee ballots from those areas tend to favor them, but Democrats say early voting and would benefit them because they really made a push for that. Meanwhile, Stevens' trial was decided a week before the election, so you could argue there are quite a few voters out there who cast their ballots before Stevens was convicted.
That's a good point as well. In terms of the fact that this race is even close following those felony convictions coming a week before, what do you believe accounts for the fact that Stevens may still win this seat despite not even possibly being able to keep the seat if he's declared the winner? Is it just a matter of Alaska rebelling against Washington? They've got a long track record with Ted Stevens. What's the likely explanation there?
Oh, I think you got to say it has to do with Alaskans' relationship with Ted Stevens. I mean, if you look at the total number of votes in the presidential versus the Senate, there really wasn't a huge drop-off at all. So people were going out and they were voting. And, you could say that Sarah Palin's candidacy did push Alaskans quite a bit, but by the time people cast their ballots on the way home from work in Alaska, the election had already been decided on what they would call the lower 48 states. So I think also Alaskans really do have this kind of affinity for Senator Stevens. All those people way out in the bush and in the boondocks everywhere in Alaska, they're living on bases and have bridges named after the senator. So,
what kind of impact do we think Sarah Palin had on the turnout in Alaska and the potential impact on the Senate race?
Well, those are two very different questions. I think on the turnout in Alaska, it's actually, they're looking at the figures, and it seems like the turnout was not as high as 2004, which is rather interesting. So maybe that not that much on a general turnout, but, I'm looking at these numbers, and it looks like Palin could have had an effect down the ticket, which is quite interesting because she's not really close to either Senator Stevens or Don Young.
Timetable here. We know that we got December 2nd in Georgia. We've got a recount that could last pretty close to Christmas in Minnesota. When do officials officials at least estimate if they don't have a firm date on when we'll have a declared winner here?
Well, by the end of today, we should have a little better of an idea of where the ballots stand. They'll have a majority, about 55 or 60% of the ballots counted into the totals by the end of today. Now, remember, that's Alaska time, so it's going to be pretty late at night, maybe about 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time that we'll get some numbers. 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time that we'll get some numbers. But in terms of the final tally, November 19th is probably going to be when we'll see the final votes come in.
Right now, Shira, it's 57 Democrats, 40 Republicans for the next Congress, assuming that Joe Lieberman continues to caucus with the Democrats.
And That's correct.
Haven't heard anything contrary to that so far. So how important is this particular vote in Alaska? Obviously, the Republicans want to be able to maintain a filibuster if they choose to do so on any piece of legislation. But are they basically believing that they need to sweep all three of these to be able to uphold one?
No. I mean, at this point, there are enough. There's still a couple moderate Republicans in the Senate that Democrats could probably get to move to their side. People like Senator Arlen Specter from Pennsylvania or the two female senators from Maine, they could probably move on a couple of issues. So it's not completely necessary. I think 58 would certainly be a bigger problem for Republicans than 57, though.
And is there an army of lawyers heading to Alaska like there is to Minnesota, or is the fact that this is still being played out over the next week or so keeping the lawyers at bay?
I think it's keeping the lawyers at bay. Minnesota is certainly a special situation right now because they are going to do a recount that is very similar to what happened in Florida in 2000, almost the exact same process, really. So quite a few lawyers are going to Minnesota. Keep in mind, though, if the election in Alaska turns out to be less than a margin of a half a percent between Senator Begich and, Anchorage Mayor Mark Begich and Senator Stevens, then one of them can ask for a recount. So we could be getting a recount after all, but we'll have to see what the final tallies say.
Well, we certainly will. Shira, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Shira Tuplitz of Roll Call Newspaper. This is Dateline Washington.